I won't be before you too long. We are the church, hopefully a little Mother's Day flair. We do have some special donuts out in the lobby after church. Some of you snuck some in before church. I saw that, but there's many more. We always have leftovers, so it's perfect. We're going to be on a message today called Stop, Drop, and Chill. Stop, drop, and chill. Turn to your neighbor and actually smile at your neighbor. Act happy and say, it's time to chill out. It's time to chill out. It's time to chill out. Let's read some Bible. You guys ready to read some word together? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Some of the sweetest words spoken by Jesus. I'll give you rest. Next verse, please. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amazing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Lord, we want to take this moment just to acknowledge you. We want to take this moment to thank you. We thank you that you have created mothers. We thank you that you've given us moms and that you are a God who is with us, even if today might be a challenging time for some because they've lost a mother. Maybe they've lost a loved one. God, we pray for extra special grace. For those of us who are struggling on a day like today that's celebrating mothers, we just pray for that. And as we celebrate, God, we want to just thank you. We want to thank you for giving us moms and dads. We want to thank you for giving us sisters and mothers and women and female influences who would just sustain us and just bless us in our lives. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you would just anoint this word, allow it to just be customize, allow it to be mighty and powerful and sharp and clear, and let it do its work in the hearts of your people this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said a hearty
amen.
Amen. Stop, drop, and chill. I think we're too busy as people. I think we have an epidemic in our country and maybe even in many countries throughout the world where we just occupy our lives with too much stuff. Anybody with me? I think we just cram our lives with so many tasks and so many expectations and so many things we're supposed to do or we ought to do or we feel like we need to do, and we get ourselves so busy where we just might be missing out on the blessing that God has for us. Have you ever cleaned your house and, you know, you worked really hard to clean and you put everything away? Annie's raising her hand. I'll raise my hand. And you work really hard. You spend hours cleaning and you scrub the counters. You do the dishes. You vacuum. You mop. You sweep. You fold. You know, you do that labor of love, and then when everything's perfect, right? You get everything just perfect. Have you ever noticed that once you get it just right, you tend to be a little critical of anybody, come on now, anybody who messes up what you just cleaned? It's like, who put this can of pop here? Who left their dishes out? Come on, who threw their clothes on the floor? Come on now, we all get into that, right? Since we clean something, we work so hard at it, we become a little bit oversensitized to it getting dirty again, right? I wonder if that same type of thing happens in the context of us being overly busy. What I mean by that, I think that we can get so busy, we can be so occupied with things we're supposed to do, to the point where rest and relaxation actually seems unnatural. Where resting doesn't seem right, it doesn't feel right, because we're so used to working and doing and creating and tackling and going on down our list of things to do. And so we get so occupied. There's so much to do. There's so many important things. We have to get to the soccer game. Come on, somebody. We got to get them to T-ball every Tuesday and Thursday. We got to get them to swim every Monday and Wednesday. We got to go to groups night. We got to get up and go to church. I got to go to work. I got my business. I got my spouse. I got my kids. And we just fill up our lives. And I think we, in many respects, are in the middle of an epidemic of overly taxing our lives with things to do. And when we do finally try to take that day of Sabbath or rest, it just, we're not even resting because we feel like we're supposed to be doing. We actually can feel guilty for not doing something. Have you ever felt guilty for resting? You can't even relax and have a picnic with your family without feeling like, you know, you're supposed to be doing something else. And I just believe that it's time for us to stop, drop, and chill. It's time for us to recalibrate the way we think and recalibrate our lives a little bit. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Especially moms. Because moms want to please and they want to take care of their kids. And if anybody needs a break, it's moms. Now, I had every intention of making breakfast in bed this morning. Intentions don't get it done, do they? Well, I had to be at the church at 6:30 in the morning, so I figured the food would have been cold by the time she got up. I'm sorry, but I did have coffee ready for her. But what a great symbolic day to just do some stuff for mom today or for our wife today, right? And take the load off of her shoulders and let her just take a day, just a day away from the diapers, away from the kids. Just you handle it. Let the fellas handle it for a while, right? And give her a little break to just chill out. Amen. There's a survey that they conducted over a period of 5 years in multiple countries all over the world. And they discovered through this five-year extended survey that most Christians have made themselves so busy that they don't have time for God anymore. Most Christians, according to over 60% of Christians, through this kind of scientific extended survey, have become so busy with other things that they don't even have time for God anymore, right? Here's four areas that we can sort of get ourselves so occupied and it can affect our lives in these ways. Number one is we get so physically out of shape. In other words, we're so busy, we don't take time to go for walks anymore, right? We don't dust up and grab the old rusty bike and just go for a bike ride, you know, on an afternoon, go for a hike or go for a run or maybe even go to the gym and get a little exercise. We allow our temple, our bodies to just miss out on something that it needs because we're too busy. Have you ever felt, I'm just so busy, I can't exercise. I don't have time to do those things that sort of refresh my body and refresh my soul, right? Or maybe we're so out of sorts emotionally. Where we become kind of a basket case because we're so fried. Our emotions are fried and so invested in the to-do list. Come on now. The problem with the to-do list is as you're trying to check off things on the list and you think you're getting down towards the bottom, there's new tasks that are going on the bottom list. You follow me. So you're trying to get it done on the top of the list, but there's new things coming in on the bottom of the list. And you can go to the next year and the next year and the next year thinking, if I can just get these tasks done, things will calm down. The thing is, they never calm down. Oh, you guys are kind of quiet this morning. Taking it all in. So we become emotionally fried. We become emotionally so occupied with things and expectations and responsibilities that we're not emotionally available, right? And we're so easily just kind of tipped one way or the other. Maybe we're out of touch relationally. In other words, the people we care about the most, our loved ones, our kids, our mom and dad, our siblings, when we are around them, we're not really around. We're not really there, right? We're still thinking about tasks. We're preoccupied with doing things, and it causes a strain on our relationships. We're The things that matter most to us, our health, our emotional state, our soul, our relationships, end up taking a back seat to things that really aren't eternal. Yeah. Or we're a little bit out of order spiritually, right? We're spiritually, you know, surveys and studies, assessments say that most Christians, a lot of Christians only go to church once every month. Did you know that? Maybe twice every month Christians go to church. It's 1 hour, 90 minutes of time every week to just celebrate Jesus and to come on in. And we get so busy, right? We get so busy with things, we end up saying things like I need that time with my family. And so this is where we put so many things in our lives where God ends up taking more of a back seat in our priorities and in our lives because of other things. And so our spiritual lives can get a little bit out of order. Have you ever felt like you've just got so much to do, you don't even have time to pray anymore? I'll take that as a no. Since when do we not talk back in church? Have you ever felt like you want to pray? You feel the leading and unctioning from the Holy Spirit to pray. And you're like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to get to it. And then the next thing you know, you finished your task or you go do something or you make that phone call or you do whatever you're supposed to do. And then that unctioning just sort of went away. And now you're too tired and you end up falling asleep and you didn't even pray, right? Where God wants to communicate with you and God wants to spend time with you and God wants to connect with you and he's calling you and he's luring you and myself included. And we get so busy, we don't have time for God anymore, let alone our loved ones, right? And this is what a busy life can look like. I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 11, our text for today, and go through what Jesus said. We're going to go through what Jesus said. I'll give you three considerations on how we can turn things around in this respect. Jesus said, come to me if you are wearied and burdened. How many know if you're wearied and burdened, the best place you can go is to Jesus? If you are wearied, if you are tired, if you are burdened, if you are taxed, if you are emotionally spent, if you're a basket case, if you are just so occupied with so much and everything else, Jesus is just, come to me. You see, Jesus is your first step. Jesus is the source for your rest and your relaxation. Did you know that? He says, come to me if you are burdened, if you are wearied, if you are stressed out. Come to me, he said, and I will give you rest. To what many of us rest, it just means, you know, going to bed at night and getting our 8 hours, maybe our 7 or 6 or 5 hours. Rest is a lot more than just sleep. There's a rest that only Jesus can give into the inner depths of our soul. Come on now. There's a rest he can give. So when you are sleeping, there's a sweetness to your sleep. Come on. When you are working, you're whistling and singing songs and praising God and singing hymns to the Lord because your soul is invigorated and you're feeling the presence and the affirmation of the Lord in your life. Jesus says, if you want that, if you want to escape the rat race and get reprieve, come to me because I am your source of true rest. In the next verse, he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke, when Jesus is describing a yoke, it's like if you've ever seen two oxen that are yoked together by either usually a wooden or maybe a metal framing that would yoke them together. So that when they're plowing the fields, there's two oxen that are powering the field. You guys with me? You guys follow me? I'll take that as a yes. He says, as you yoke with me, notice he says, you will learn from me. And what this means is they would often yoke up a younger, weaker, more inexperienced oxen with a stronger, experienced oxen so that the experienced oxen would set the pace, right? Would set the pace and carry the majority of the load, right? So the younger oxen might just get out there and just start running and running and running and running and then run out of steam, whereas the older, more experienced oxen would know the right cadence, would know the right pace, and it would force the younger, inexperienced oxen to follow in line with the cadence and the rhythms of the experienced, strong beast. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, when you yoke up with me, I'll do the heavy lifting for you. Come on now. When you yoke up with me, you don't have to worry and stress out and freak out about everything. Come on now. When you yoke up with me, you will begin to learn from me. You will begin to learn when it's time to rest, what pace you should go, when it's time to press forward. And I'll give you this rest, it says, for your soul. He says he's humble in heart. And when you're yoked upon, the Message version says, and you walk in the rhythms of grace. There's a rhythm to God's grace. There's a rhythm and a cadence and a drumbeat, if you will, to what it means to walk with Jesus. I wonder how many of us are just so off in our own thing, with our own tasks, with our own agendas, and we're out there running and working and running and working. We're running ourselves silly with busyness and tasks and things, and our souls are beginning to get burdened and dried out, and Jesus just wants to give you some rest. Now, if you want some rest, you got to go to Jesus. And we can learn from him. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me just submit this to you. I am fully convinced that you and I were never created. We are not created to carry the burdens of the stresses and the busyness that we often put on ourselves. We're not designed for that. If we get too stressed out, our bodies get sick. Come on now. Things start to break down. We get mean. You know, we get mean as a dog when we're tired, broke, busted, and disgusted. Yes, sir. We're so worried about money. We're so worried about the lawn. We're so worried about all this stuff. And then, you know, things just get messed up. We were not designed to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. We were designed to, you know, skip through the fields. We were designed to get through some stuff. We work hard, but there's a grace to our work. There's a rhythm to our work. Our work is easy. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. He's not going to put more on you than what you and him can handle together, right? Sometimes God will put more on you than you can handle so that you'll finally just raise up your hands and you'll have no choice. Jesus, I think I'm going to need you in this situation. He's like, finally, you're going to lean on me. And what was too hard for you is not too hard for me. Amen. I want to take you through three considerations. If you would consider these three ideas with me, I would appreciate it. And I won't be for you too much longer. In Exodus 18, 17, before you go to Exodus, first one is, some things need to be shared. Sharing is caring. Now, my wife's love language is acts of service. So if I just do the dishes, she thinks I'm the greatest guy in the world. And she'll take pictures of me without me knowing, putting it up on Facebook. Everyone thinks I'm the greatest guy in the world. You know, you throw in a little dishes here and there, and you share the load. Some things in our lives need to be shared, but so many times we want to cling to all of our stuff, and we want to do it ourselves. Especially some guys are like that. I can handle it. I can handle another appointment. I can handle, yeah, and it's not always work. Oh yeah, okay, we're gonna go have a game night with those people, and then we're gonna take the kids to this, and then, you know, we got this church thing and that church thing, and then we got this other thing, and, you know, yeah, we can also go on this little weekend vacation, we're gonna go on that, and we gotta do it all. We fill it up, And we overtax our lives with stuff, and good things can just wear us down. Fun things can wear us down, right? But some things need to be shared. In Exodus 18, 17 through 18, now Moses learned this lesson. Moses had all these people, tons of Israelites, multitude of Israelites, and he was trying to lead them all by himself. He was trying to do it by himself. He had a mega church of all mega churches. Come on, somebody. And he needed to break it up and install some pastors. You know what I mean? Right? He needed some satellite campuses going on, but he was trying to do the whole thing himself. And so Moses' father-in-law stepped in and gave him some good wisdom. Here's some good wisdom. He said, "What you are doing, Moses, is not good." Come on now. When we don't share the load, when we don't offload some of our tasks for other people to do, it's not good. In the next verse, Moses' father says, "You and these people who have come to you will only what? Wear yourselves out." It's not good because we wear ourselves out. He says, "The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." The Bible says many hands makes for what? Light work. It's a beautiful thing when people come together and we share the load. For some of us, it means offloading some responsibilities. And for others of us, it means stepping in and helping out, right? Whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's within your church community, we need to share the wealth, right? Come on now, we need to share the workload and give people a break and step in and help out and offload some stuff, delegate some stuff so that we can move on. The next thing, some things need to be dropped. Some things need to be shared. They're valuable, they're important, they have to be done. Other things just need to be dropped. Thank you, baby. In Luke 10, 41 through 42, we've all heard this, let's look at it again. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. Now Martha was running around trying to do everything. She was occupied with stuff. She was busy, 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 busy. Now she was the host of the home, it was her home, so she felt that burden of responsibility. But according to Jesus, what we're gonna learn here is she put that on herself. And Jesus said, "The Lord answered, 'You are worried and upset about many things.'" You see, Jesus is not saying that there isn't at least something that we should be concerned about, but he's saying that, "Martha, you're concerned and you're upset and you're worried about many things." And this is when we get burned out, we get worried, it puts a taxing thing on our soul, is when we've got many things that we're worried about, right? In the next verse, Jesus goes on to say, "But what? Few things are actually needed." I wonder how many things in our lives need to be dropped. How many things we're doing we don't really need to be doing. It's not really helping us. It's not really adding to us. And they just need to be dropped. We just need to drop it. We need to stop it. We just need to not do it anymore. You know what? We're not going to go to game night that week. You know what? We're not going to go to, we're not going to sign up our kid for this time, right? He says, or indeed one, he's saying even maybe only one thing is actually needed. He says, "Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken from her." So Martha was worried about a lot of things. Mary was only occupied with the one thing, the important thing, and the better thing. So we need to figure out in our lives, what are the better things? What are the valuable things? What are the important things that we need to make sure that we are doing? And what are the things that are not important that we should not be worried about anymore? We drop them out of our lives, and all of a sudden, we're freeing ourselves from that. Some of you are like, "Okay, great, I'm not going to help out at church anymore." That's not what I'm saying. And Psalm 46:10, let's look at this. Psalm 46:10. It says, be what? Still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know what this original word is for the word still? The original word for the word still in the next slide is the word Rapha. Here's what the word still means in the original language. It means to slacken, to allow to sink, or to let drop. So in other words, to be still and know that he is God means to drop it in a modern translation. Untie yourself from things that we've tied ourselves to. And if you don't untie yourself from things that you've tied yourself to, God just might untie it for you. And bring you into a season where you are still and you are waiting upon the Lord in your life. You see, be still is to drop it, is to loose it, is to slack it, is to let it sink and let God do his thing. Watch God be your provision. Some of us, it's like, well, if I don't do those things, it's not going to get done. If I don't step up, if I don't do these things, if I don't add more of these things, if I don't accumulate this busyness in my life, then everything's going to crumble. Quite to the contrary. Come on, I know many a pastors who work themselves silly. In fact, the five-year survey, guess who was number one on the busyness of no time for God anymore? Pastors. Pastors have an ego. They think that if they're not the ones doing everything, the church is not going to excel. But I've come to learn that sometimes the less of the pastor stepping in, the more the church actually flourishes. I got one clap. You guys are a tough crowd. I love you. I love you to death, but you're a tough crowd this morning. You're very sweet people, but you're a tough crowd this morning. I want the Holy Spirit to bring to our mind things that we can drop. And to sort through the things that are better that we should focus on. Like our children. Like God. Like our calling. Like our spouses. Like our health. Right? Like rest. Now, we're not a church that's under law. But if we were, we're not following the Sabbath law very well. We just plow right through and we're busy. We work ourselves silly. The third thing is everything needs to be surrendered. Some things need to be shared. Some things need to be dropped. But everything needs to be surrendered. Can I get Wendy up here to play and make me feel more spiritual? Give us some ambiance in this place. Everything needs to be surrendered. In Psalm 62:1, here's what the Bible says. It says, my soul finds rest in who? God alone. If we are not designed for all of this, if we are not designed to carry the burdens of all this stress and all this worry and of all this anxiety and all these things that we put upon our lives, or we feel like we're supposed to be so emotionally invested in because we simply haven't found out how to trust and rest in God and let him worry about things that are outside of our control, right? And so the only place your soul will find rest is in God. It says, my what? Salvation comes from him. The word salvation means a lot more than just spiritual deliverance. The word salvation means provision, prosperity. God will provide for you. He said, Jesus says, don't even worry about what you're gonna wear. Don't worry about what you're gonna eat. We could be worried to death about paying our bills and what's going to happen next month, what's going to happen next year. And Jesus says, stop worrying about all these things that God already knows that you have need of. If God is mindful of one sparrow that falls to the ground, how much more valuable are you and I to a loving, good, faithful Father? We sing about it in church. Let's live it in our souls Monday through Saturday. Amen? What good is singing about it and preaching about it and meditating if we don't take it with us and release the cares and worries and anxieties and give them over to God? And let him give our soul some rest. This last week on Wednesday night when we had life group here at the church, the windows were up, it was kind of warm outside. The windows were open over in the fireside room down the hallway. We were meeting together and our alive leader, our youth leader, Michael Bradley. Let's give Michael Bradley a woohoo. Michael Bradley, he didn't know the windows were open. And so he was walking out to his car and he was singing. I want him to be on the worship team. He was singing so good. He was worshiping and singing a spiritual worship song. He had no idea that we could hear him. And then he was kind of embarrassed when he realized that he had very beautifully disrupted our life group. But I just love to see that. He wasn't going out to his car. I forgot in my trunk. Those kids drive me crazy. He was out there. Oh, Lord Jesus. He's just light, relaxed, restful. Those are the people that I want working and ministering to people where they got something to give. You know, there's a supernatural way that we walk this out. You can have peace that surpasses all understanding, the Bible says. You can actually have a joy that comes from heaven. You can have a joy where Jesus says, I got you covered. I'll take care of you. You don't have to stress out about these things. This is my responsibility, God says. It's not only spiritual deliverance, it's prosperity, it's provision, and it is victory. God is our salvation. And in Psalm 55, 22, my last word to you says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. What if we really learned this art of spiritual growth where we truly cast our cares on him? Where the things that are keeping us up at night, we're not even worried about them at all anymore. What if God was just that good? What if God was just that faithful? What if we actually believed what the holy, infallible, unchanging scriptures actually say about God Almighty? What if the same way he came through for you last year, he'll come through for you this year? What if you could free yourself from all the worry and anxiety of things that you were never even meant to carry? You were meant to be yoked up with God. You were meant to walk in the cool of the garden with Jesus. You were meant to be just filled up with his peace and joy and knowing that God has got you in the palm of his hand. What if the things that stressed you out became an exciting adventure? Come on, somebody. Some of you need to learn to just chill out. Drop it. Stop it. Relax. Everything's gonna be okay. Come on, I don't want to start singing Bob Marley on you. Everything's gonna be all right. But it is true. God has got us. Is he faithful or is he not? Is he true or is he not? What are we really gonna believe? We're going to believe him to save us on the last day when we die. He promises us salvation every day. He promises us provision right now. He promises to take care of us. The words that describe God in the Bible are both very masculine and also very feminine. Some of you are like, whoa, that freaks me out. Yes, if we are created equally in the image of God, God has very masculine characteristics. but he also created mothers. He's nurturing in our lives. He sweet talks us. He encourages us. That's why he created mothers, because he's got those characteristics too. He knows we need that nurturing. He knows that we need that. That nurturing thing that women have, God put that in them. And they are a reflection of who God is. And God is your nurturer. God is your comforter. You need a hug. You need somebody to tell you. Sometimes you just need somebody to tell you. Even you strong macho men, come on, you manly men. You're driving your truck. You know, you work, you got calluses on your hands and fingers. So I'm a man. Yeah, you too. You cry. You cry when no one's looking. You weep. You need somebody to hug you and just tell you it's going to be okay. That's what God does. God whispers to you. God takes care of you. God is good. But we have to cast away those things that we're not meant to carry on our shoulders anymore. If we don't cast them away, they're going to kill us. They're going to stress us out. They're going to make us sick. We have to learn to not worry about things that are outside of our providence. We have to learn to go to the throne room and receive our refreshing. God will tell you that he's got you in the palm of his hand. And you can just be riding high. You know, we ought to be a peculiar people, right? When you go through something, people ought to see something on you that comes from heaven. People ought to see something on us. It's like, why are you not worried? Oh, didn't you hear? I told you I believe in Jesus. What, you think I'm supposed to be freaking out now? If we believe in Jesus, let's believe in Jesus when the rubber meets the road. Let's trust him. Let's expect good things. Let's believe that he's doing amazing things in our lives. Let's cast our cares and our worries and our burdens on him. Let's share the workload. Let's drop the unimportant things. And let's surrender everything to God and watch the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, and whistling songs when nobody's looking begin to overflow in your heart. Amen. I'm going to give you an invitation this morning to cast your cares over to Jesus. I invite you this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you've got a glimpse into what it's like to know Jesus. Some of you don't know him and you need to put your faith in him, and that invitation is open to you. It's always open to you. You know that. Others of you, you know Jesus, but you're carrying things on your shoulders that are meant for his shoulders. You know, if the weight of the government can be on the shoulders of Jesus, what is your little problem to that mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The weight of the world is no problem for the shoulders of Jesus. I invite you to release your burdens and your cares and the things that are worrying you and give them over to Jesus. Let him work it out. And allow God's fruit and peace and joy to come into your life. If that's you, I want to invite you up. We've got some prayer warriors. I want to invite you up to get some prayer to connect with you. And we're just going to worship the Lord in song right now. What a beautiful name it is. Let's worship the Lord in song. If you need prayer, Pastor Annie's up here. And we've got other people who can come up here and to just pray with you. If you've got things that are really weighing you down, sometimes you just need to connect with somebody. Sometimes you need to connect with somebody who's got some faith where you're lacking in faith, right? So let's just stand to our feet. Let's worship the Lord in song very briefly. And then we're going to have our offering service right after that. Into you. Father, I just pray for your peace. Those, dear God, who are burdened down, those who need to know you, God, we just release into their hearts peace. We release into their hearts, we ask that you would remove from them the shackles and the burdens and the chains that have us all bound up. And God, I just pray that you would infuse your people with your grace, with your love, with your hope, with your peace. Lord, those who are struggling today on Mother's Day because they've lost their mom or maybe they've lost a child, I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray that you'd give them an extra measure of grace in their lives for this day. Bring some joy into that season of darkness and of sorrow, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would strengthen those knees, strengthen those hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, those who don't know you, whisper to them. Draw them, God. Call them, Lord. It's as easy as saying yes to him. It's as easy as just saying yes. It's as easy as saying, Jesus, I believe you. Jesus, wash me, forgive me. Some of you are burdened because of what you did. You're burdened because of your sin. It's like the sin has just burdened you and has gotten down in your bones and you can't shake the thing that you did. Release that burden. Give that burden over to Jesus. He died on the cross to take away that burden, to take away that shame, to take away that sense of condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Relinquish that care. Relinquish that concern. Relinquish that shame in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.